weekly wrap up, everybody, in downtown Los Angeles on Skid Row Studios. I am your host, Ken August. I am joined by Drew Marks. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing just great.
Chris Z is with us. How are you, my man?
Couldn't be better, Drew. Gus.
Well, you can tell any of us. Drew can hear.
You're off to a bad start.
Should we say? Dude, what's that? What's in that coffee is what I want to know. Well, happy Memorial Day weekend, everyone. Give us a ring if you have something on your mind, 800-893-9562. We're going to talk about, apparently our president may not be American. I don't know if you've heard that rumor. Kenyan Muslim president that we got going.
There's a lot of evidence to support it, Gus.
a lot of evidence that has not come out yet. Finally,
you got to give Donald Trump time.
Yeah. Well,
they are in Vegas right now. They're looking for his mother.
he will find it, or at least he will pretend he's going to find it. Eitan Pate's case looks like it may be coming to a close after 33 years, and a sentencing in the Rutgers spy case, which we talked about earlier, so we'll check in on that. And then I'm going to try to convince you to watch a little hockey finals with me coming up. I probably don't have a good chance.
Good luck.
Thank you. Thank you very much. But first, let's go to where Drew has a summer home in Pakistan. Let's listen to this.
A Pakistani court today sentenced a doctor to 33 years in prison for helping track down Osama bin Laden. Shaquille Afridi was convicted of conspiring against the Pakistani state. He'd secretly helped the CIA collect DNA. His information helped verify that bin Laden was at a compound in Abbottabad. American commandos raided the site last May and killed the al-Qaeda leader. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and other senior U.S. officials had called for Afridi's release.
Nice. So we say, hey, can you help us catch this guy? Sorry about your luck if you get caught.
You think that was really the case? I think it was more an issue. I am sure they offered him a chance out. I had heard that he was more concerned for his family and he opted to stay, which was a horrible move on his part.
Well, there's some very interesting facts actually about this. For anyone who doesn't know, it was the doctor in Pakistan who set up a fake hepatitis B vaccination program, and he grabbed DNA samples from bin Laden's kids, or some of bin Laden's kids, God knows how many he has, and then they used that evidence to basically figure out that he was probably there and called the attack. 20 days after the raid, he was arrested. His family hasn't been seen for a week after that, and people are getting on the president's case for not doing anything. There is a report, although it has not been verified, that there is a former CIA agent who said he's under the impression that he was given an option to leave, like you said. However, he chose not to because he thought this would be welcomed by Pakistan. Hey, we caught bin Laden. And
he is not too bright.
Yeah, this guy is a textbook definition of naive.
Yeah,
I mean, it's been widely known for quite some time that Pakistan puts on a face for the Western world, but there is a ton of support for radical Islam there. That's not news.
I'm not there. I'm not involved, and I know it was a bad move. So I'm guessing maybe he should have had a clue.
Textbook definition of naive doesn't do that much good in an area where there's not many textbooks. However, touché. I mean, He doesn't have the right to a trial, representation. So he did have a trial, but he's not allowed to speak or allowed to have representation. They did have a former military guy in the former Pakistani military, and he basically came out with a report. He did his own investigation and said this guy may not have known who he was even working for. He was following orders. Although, if you're setting up a fake vaccination, you have to know something.
Yeah, you got a clue.
You got a clue something's going on. But in that part of the world, if somebody comes over and tells you to do something, you may do it.
Yes, but in that part of the world, people who haven't helped and haven't done anything are getting picked up, you know, kidnapped, killed constantly. So if you're actually doing something, you would think you would be looking for a way out.
Yes, I would. Now, I mean, for anyone who doesn't know, then the U.S.'s response was the Senate has decided to cut aid to them by $33 million, $1 million per year that he was sentenced. He was sentenced to 33 years in prison for high treason. Now, here's another question. Is it not technically treason? What he did, is it not technically treason?
I don't think it's technically treason. Bin Laden is not a Pakistani citizen. Yeah. He never has been.
No, but he did. He did help a foreign government. He helped a foreign government start some sort of military action on their own soil.
That's putting a lot of blame on him for something he may not even have known was going to take place. He had no authority.
Who did he think he was doing a fake vaccination program for?
But I don't disagree with that, but you're suggesting, A, that he knew he was working for a foreign government. That's an assumption right
that
there. And B, that he had anything to do with condoning the raid, because the raid was the violation of Pakistan's sovereignty, not a man going around with an immunization program, fake or real.
That's a valid point.
It's not an isolated incident.
What's that?
It's not an isolated incident. We have been performing raids in Afghanistan and Pakistan on a regular basis.
Yes, but they usually can't point to one specific guy that helped us and say, hey, by the way. And I mean, most people in America, or a lot of people in Congress at least, believe that he was sentenced more because they were embarrassed by the fact that bin Laden was living right there. And apparently they didn't either know it, or a lot of people didn't know it, and the people that knew it didn't say anything, and that the U.S. was able to go in.
Do you think we would have gone after him anyway?
Yeah, we were going after
him.
No,
not us, them.
No. I mean, that's why we didn't tell them, was because there's been...
The Pakistani military was not going in instead of us.
But now here's a question. That guy helped us. Let's just say that guy, like we said. I mean, because I basically agree with you guys. Let's say he's naive as could be, whether there's a textbook or not, but he's naive as could be, but he helped us. So let's say he thought, okay, and Senator Feinstein said an interesting point. She brought an interesting point, which is towards what you were saying, Chris, is that to accuse this guy of treason is basically saying, well, is that questioning whether the target that they nailed, bin Laden, was, or Al-Qaeda, is basically you considering that the same as Pakistan? Are you saying they attacked us, he helped somebody attack us, and he's one of us? Or is it just because it was on your soil?
I'm sure the country would claim it's just because he was on the soil, because you're not going to, that's like aligning yourself with Hitler, you know?
Can't do that. Hitler with a beard?
Yeah.
Can't do that.
Right. So they're just saying foreign interests, you know, doing their own raids on our soil is unacceptable without clearing it with us first. But I think that's also just for show. Now, in this case, I think they took it too far. Like, there's a lot of times I'm sure deals are brokered behind closed doors, and then they go, well, we're going to object to this because we need to. But we knew about it.
It's a good deal. As soon as the cameras are on, we're going to act disgusted. Well, we had to do something, or seemingly had to try to do everything we could to get the Chinese dissident, the blind Chinese activist, out. Do we not have at least that much, if not more, of an obligation to help a guy who helped us get bin Laden? Even if do you go, well, he was naive, he's on his own. And does that hurt you at any point in time when you try to get the locals?
Issues. There's the, we've labeled this man the world's number one terrorist versus it's just, you know, are we protective of human interest? You know, and human rights. That was the Chinese guy. But that's what it was with the Chinese guy.
Well, what about the rights? What about the rights for this guy who has just been sentenced to 33 years for... What? For, I mean, helping possibly people he didn't know who he was helping.
No, I agree. Here's the thing. There's what we should do, and how much can we?
No, that always seems to be the question.
Problem.
Well, that brings us to another part of the world not far from where is Syria. What do you do with Syria? I believe yesterday.
The Chinese guy?
Well, he is blind. He may be in Syria and have no idea.
He's in New York.
He'd be like, I thought the food was horrible. Turns out I was in the wrong country. No, but Syria this weekend had that roadmap to peace. Apparently that roadmap is in English and nobody there understands it because it's not working. And 90 people were killed in one town, most of them children. And of course, the government saying it's not us, yet there's mortar shells, it looks like, and tank fire and things along those lines. What do you do there? Similar question. You can't. Technically, what can you do?
I'm taking the Ron Paul, you know, and I mean this. Yeah. I am taking the Ron Paul approach here, which is, you know what? Unless we are being directly threatened, you got to go with some hands off stuff.
It's got to stop somewhere. It's going to come back to haunt us, right? Or no matter what you do to help people, you're always going to take the blame for it later on. Mm-hmm. So you may alleviate some suffering right now, but later on down the road, to be like, ah, these Americans, what are they? Look at their influence on our government. You know, you have to let people sort things out.
Yeah.
Like this Middle East peace process, it hasn't happened. It's not going to happen. It's been going on for what? 50 years between Israel and its neighbors.
As long as it's existed, yes.
We suffer attacks of terrorism because of our continuing inexplicable support of Israel above anyone else in this world. And yet, you know, it just has to stop. At some point, you might even say, look, it's a horrible thing, but you guys need to battle it out.
I disagree with you. I completely disagree with you. I think Israel over there is technically, now Israel's got to do what they got to do. But if you
I don't disagree with that.
If Israel's got to do what they got to do, if Israel didn't have what is already for its size, probably the best military
in the world.
Yeah, in the world, it would already be gone. You have a bunch of people that when Israel backs out,
and it has that army because of our support.
No doubt. Well,
yes,
they have it because of our support. But now that they have that actual technology, mm-hmm. they can do plenty of shit without us, whether we want them to do it or not. And sometimes, similar to your point earlier, there's things we want them to do that we pretend out loud we don't want them to do, and then go in there and blow up that nuclear facility before it actually is active. If you leave Israel to itself, it's surrounded, and that's a rallying cry for a bunch of people that use that as a rallying cry, whether it has anything to do with them or not. Iran will, when they need more support in the area, bring up Israel. Has nothing to do with Israel, but that's what they bring up. So if you abandon them, you know, I completely disagree. Yeah, I think that's us over there.
Bin Laden himself said that part of his hatred for the United States is based on our continuing support of Israel.
They all say that.
That is a rallying cry. That is a 100% rallying cry. He didn't say that when he started it. He said it when he wanted more support. So you give in to that? That's crap.
When you weaponize and finance an army that kills children, you can't distance yourself from the blame entirely. I just, at some point, we have to accept, you know, people genuinely don't seem to understand in this country why anyone, like, why do they hate the United States? But how come they don't hate Canada? How come they don't hate Belize? Because these people don't facilitate the murder of children. I mean, there's a million documentaries.
Hold on. Before you blame murdering children on one side, which couldn't be more wrong, I will go with this. If you had a dog, and every day I kept kicking your dog, and you go, stop doing that or I'm going to do something about it. And I keep kicking your dog. And then eventually you come over and beat the shit out of me. I go, hey, look what he did. He beat the shit out of me. That's what keeps happening. Bullshit rockets come in. There was Netanyahu, who I think is too much of a hawk, has said specifically this. The one thing that I agree with him on. If all the Palestinians put down right now all of their arms, within a couple of years there's going to be a state. A Palestinian state. Most Israelis already agree that there's not a lot of other ways to actually come to a conclusion other than to give them their state. Hold on. Okay. Yet, if the Israelis instead put down their arms, they're going to get blown up.
So what you're saying is because he said it, it's true?
No, what I'm saying is because I believe it is what I'm saying. I believe that is true. I didn't say that. As a matter of fact, I started with that's one of the few things that I agree with him on.
There are dozens of documentaries you can watch. You can read books written by Jimmy Carter about the situation over there. This is just one statistic I happen to remember. Oh, crap. Just one statistic I happen to remember offhand where the average Israeli uses five times more water than the average Palestinian. There's occupied territories, these people. I mean,
Put down your arms, stop sending goddamn missiles into the area and we will work the problems out.
In that region that have a minority Israeli population that dictate the laws and rules based on the safety of the minority. There is continuing oppression out there.
There is oppression because they continue to send in bombs. Stop bombing and we will work shit out. And that is rule. That is the first condition of we're going to work shit out. And here's the thing is when Israel backs out, the two Palestinian sides fight each other and start doing suicide attacks. So that's how they deal with their problem, mostly because of poverty and lack of education. Mostly because of that. You read articles in their newspaper, that say Israel actually uses the blood of children to make certain pastries for holidays. That's what the limited people that can read in that area pass on as news. So if I grew up in that area, I would hate Israel too. However, education doesn't hurt.
Yeah, I don't disagree with some things you said. I just think you're leaving way too many important details out.
Oh, I by no means does that mean everything I think that Israel does is correct. And I think Netanyahu and a lot of the people in there are too hawkish. I think you have to stop with these settlements also, as well.
You have the, what are they called?
Occupied territory.
No, not the occupied territory, where they build residences.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They have to, the settlements is ridiculous. Yeah.
And they continue to build them. In fact, I think it was Clinton who cut off, you think 33 million cutting off that much in aid to Pakistan is a big number? That's laughable compared to how much we had to stop giving aid to Israel because they would not stop building those settlements. Right. And as soon as that particular president, I believe it was Clinton, left office, immediately they resumed.
I agree with.
There's no doubt that Israel in the settlements, that there's things that are being done wrong. But the issue I think that you're not dealing with that Gus is bringing up, which I tend to agree with, is unfortunately when the way you are trying to get your point across is suicide bombers and blowing up malls and sending in rockets into areas, you are never, ever going to get to a point where it's like, let's have a reasonable discussion.
But I do have to, because I've heard this argument a million times before, and the idea that because somebody has less money and less weaponry and less capability and they fight the only way they have, and that's somehow a slam on them because their enemy is vastly superior in their training and their weaponry, and that somehow that reflects poorly on the Palestinians. I can't understand how that's come accepted as fact.
That's not it. That happens to be the case, but that is not the problem. The problem is, once again, we go back to the education, but you also go with the fact that I continue to go back. If Israel was to put down their arms, they're in trouble. You can't have, if you have two sides and one side says, look, we're not going to agree on anything, but there's only one way eventually this will be solved. All this other shit has to happen, but then you will get a state and we will get a state. Now, they are still going to fight over who gets Jerusalem and things like that. However, the other side says, you can't exist. Okay, well, that's hard to bargain with. You can't exist. Yeah. You can't bargain with that.
We're committed to you not being here.
Yeah. So
it's not a good talking.
No. So what, do you wait until they have the power in order to make that happen? No, you do what you can. In the meantime, if they stop bombing us, then we can actually pass shit. But until we have to defend ourselves. And that being said, there's no argument on the settlements because I think that just provokes and that is ridiculous. But we're going to have to move on. While we're overseas, we might as well talk about our foreign president. As the elections are starting to, the general election is starting to roll around, we are hearing a familiar tactic, which sounds something like this.
I don't know whether Barack Obama was born in the United States or not. I don't know that. But I do know this, that in his heart, he's not an American. He's just not an American.
Not an American.
In his heart.
In his heart. That's because you
he's
can tell
very
that.
American feet.
Gus, I don't know if you have or haven't molested children.
First of all.
But I know in my heart that you have.
You have a decent idea. That yeah, they love the Ken Bennett, and we'll talk about him shortly because he got his response, the Secretary of State from Arizona. But they love to throw that, I'm going to say something reasonable, and then throw a bunch of doubt at the end of it and be like, well.
I don't know that I believe this, but I've heard it.
I want to make a statement and then follow it immediately with a disclaimer that wasn't a terribly thorough disclaimer.
Well, this is what's annoying. This was Congressman Mike Kaufman from Colorado who basically came with the President Obama's. I don't know if he was born
in his
here.
Heart, he's not.
But
an
in
American.
His heart, he's not an American. Then he got like called him. On it. He got called on it, and this was the horseshit answer he gave.
So let me ask you, after your comments about the president, do you feel that voters are owed a better explanation than just, I misspoke?
I think that, as I stand by my statement, that I misspoke and I apologize.
Okay, and who are you apologizing to?
You know, I stand by my statement that I misspoke and I apologize.
I apologize. We talk to you all the time. You're a very forthcoming guy. Who's telling you not to talk and to handle
you
it
know,
like
I,
this?
I stand by my statement that I wrote, that you have. And I misspoke and I apologize.
Was it that you thought it would go over well in Elbert County where folks are very conservative and you'd never say something like that in the suburbs?
I stand by my statement that I misspoke and I apologize.
Is there anything that I can ask you that you'll answer differently?
You know, I stand by my statement that I misspoke and I apologize.
Thank you, Congressman.
I just wish he had asked, like, what's your favorite flavor of ice cream? Just to see what the guy would have said, you know?
I mean, here's the thing is, if you're a politician, at the very least, even if you have to flip-flop on your answer, at the very least, have a better answer than no matter what he asks me, I'm going to panic and say the same sentence over and over and over again.
The statement that he's standing by isn't the original statement. The statement he's standing by was...
That he misspoke.
I misspoke and I apologize.
Yes. Although he flip-flopped on that as well, because shortly after that, on another interview, he said he claimed his apology was largely made for political reasons. He was asked, did you basically speak your heart and then had to apologize for political reasons? And he said yes. So he questioned the president's actual patriotism and whether he was actually an American. Then he apologized. Then he kind of backed out of the apology. Dude, figure out if you want to be an ignorant dick and then make that decision and go with it.
I want to vote for this guy. I'm confident. He stands by what he says.
I mean, here's the thing.
That's like Romney when he says, I don't know what I said, but I stand behind what I said.
Unless you don't like it, then I stand against it.
Later.
You tell me. Let's take
Where am I? Where am I? Okay, I'm in that state? Yes, let me check my poll first.
When did this become the norm, guys? Maybe it's because I'm young, but has it always been the case where you could say express a clearly defined idea and then dismiss it as misspeaking? Misspeaking right here, Merriam-Webster.com, to express oneself imperfectly or incorrectly. That's not, he did not misspeak. He did not blunder a word. He did, you know what I mean?
Was there a second definition of misspeaking that says, I said something that the public didn't want to hear? Is that not in there?
No, that's not there, Gus.
Then maybe he doesn't have that correct definition.
I mean, you present what is clearly a defined idea. He didn't stutter. He didn't immediately retract the statement. You can't say you misspoke. That's not what misspeak means.
Right, but I think these people, the politicians, throughout time, okay, they have always, you speak to the crowd that you're in front of. The only difference is now nothing goes unrecorded. So you just get called on things now that you didn't before.
Yeah, and you're not taking a train.
So shocked. It's like Newt Gingrich. How dare you bring my words up?
I believe, yeah. He has one of my favorites of, if you use my words, you're a liar.
Yes. How dare you tell me what I said because I said it.
Now, this seems to be, though, they're going back to this tactic, which was already their tactic 4 years ago, when Obama, we don't know who he is, Reverend Wright, and he's suspicious and he may be a Kenyan Muslim. But the guy's been president for 3.5 years. You're coming back to, we don't know who he is. He still might not be an American.
Well, that's like they're trying to vet him. The guy's been on the job for 3 years. Really? What do you think you're going to find? Like, the other side would be so happy and so desperate to find anything concrete against him. It's not like we're just going to start looking now.
Yeah.
No, they've been looking since day one.
Well, to Chris's angry point from last week when his head almost exploded when he wanted Trump to... He's like, where is the information Donald Trump said he had? Trump's going to be... He's now a surrogate, basically, for Romney. They're going to have a big fundraiser together.
With Gingrich.
They're all in Vegas
this weekend.
They had to get a bigger tent for Gingrich's head. But I mean, this is this tactic. I mean, we talked last week about Ken Bennett, the Secretary of State of Arizona, who kept requesting...
How is that even legal?
From Hawaii. He kept requesting the birth certificate. And they kept saying, well, you have to send us certain forms that tell us you actually need this information. So he finally got it. He finally got his information. And he has dropped it and said, how did he word it? I apologize if I embarrassed the state.
The state. Never mind myself.
Yes.
Here's what I get. You know, you talk about, was it treason for the guy in Afghanistan?
Yes.
Or Pakistan.
Pakistan.
Pakistan. How is it not kind of treason if you're a government official going, the president is not an American? How is that not treason?
Because it's Republicans doing it to a Democrat.
Well, yeah. If you said anything anti-Bush, which don't get me wrong, there was plenty of stuff said anti-Bush, but they were big on the you're not patriotic, you're not an American. Bachman, that idiot, we should have some kind of hearing, right? Some kind of McCarthy-like hearing. Yeah, but yet for them to come back to it, now Secretary of State Ken Bennett dropped it, but when he only dropped it because he finally got the info. When he got that info, the Maricopa County, the sheriff from Arizona, Sheriff Joe
Arpaio.
Yeah, that idiot sent two deputies to Hawaii to try to get... By the way, two deputies, quote, and people from his volunteer posse. See, that's part of the problem right there. you don't realize what age you're living in when you're sending posse members to Hawaii to try to get government documentation. This is not John Wayne bullshit movie.
The other thing is, I don't understand. How does the Arizona guy claim that he just got the information when this thing, even through the whole Trump thing, remember where Trump took credit? He's like, I got him to show it.
Yeah. I got him to show it.
Why was that not acceptable? You know, what information are you getting? You're getting the exact same thing.
Well, this guy is saying, Joe Douche, whatever his name is, Arpaio, has said that basically the long form birth certificate is, he says there's enough evidence.
Have that.
He said there's enough evidence for that to be called a forgery, as well as his Obama's selective service card, he said, is also most likely a forgery.
So first the issue was the birth certificate. Then the issue was that he only presented the short form. Then the issue was that the long form could be a forgery. So clearly, if at this point you're still on board with this nonsense, I mean, you're just an idiot. You can just be misled by this for the rest of your life, because there'll always be some little, you know, this could have been taken from a parallel universe.
Yeah, well, did the sheriff, why does he not want, first of all, the sheriff, why he sent his deputies and his posse down there, they didn't even get the info. They got the same answer Ken Bennett originally got, which is, you need to prove to us that there's a reason you need this information, because this is annoying.
But I've always heard Hawaii doesn't have the long form. So they're asking for something that doesn't exist. Different states have different paperwork.
Yes, but the forms, the official forms that they wanted specifically, they said, we will supply when you can give us the verification that you need this for your daily work, as opposed to just annoying us with this, because a couple of years ago, they actually signed a law saying, this is getting annoying, there's too many requests for the same form. But the problem is why would the sheriff not just call Ken Bennett, who from the same state, who just got that information, and say, hey, can I look at it? Because I got these idiots over here that just spent $40,000 of donations, which, by the way, I believe he's saying donations because they're going to pay it back. I believe that still came from where it shouldn't have come from, but came from the state. But
well, you know, our pile's also under investigation.
Yep.
It's the dueling investigations.
No, overdue investigation.
Yes, yeah. But it's been in a pretty full force by the Justice Department for a while.
And of course, he's claiming it's retribution from the Obama administration.
Sure, as opposed to the fact that he puts an unbelievable amount of minorities in jail in a tent city and makes them dress in
unapologetically.
Overalls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stands behind profiling. Is yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I thank God for Arizona, because I'm from Florida and we need somebody to make us look good. You know?
That is nice. Now, Iowa, by the way, Iowa may help make you look a little better as well, although probably not. Probably make you look exactly the same. But I'm going to read a couple of things from the Iowa Republican Party just released their platform. And it's pages and pages. We'll put it on the website, or we'll put a link to it on the website. But like us on Facebook, by the way, the weekly wrap up. But I highlighted a few of them, which is interesting. Their platform, number two on the list, is America is good. Like, are we 5 years old? America is good. What does that mean? I mean, sure. Okay. No argument. That was a good use of space and time. Number three, the family is sacred. The husband and wife are the ultimate authority, not the government. Yes, because all parents know what's best.
Right, like Christian Scientists.
Yeah, yes. Number seven, the United States is a sovereign nation and we should abide by the rule of law of this nation only. Apparently, unless your parents disagree.
Well,
because
what state was it that actually passed a thing saying that, you know, you're not allowed to make Sharia law the ruling law?
Yeah, I believe that's in Iowa. That's in this one.
Yeah, it's like, because that's happening.
Yes, no, that's one thing.
That's well underway, Drew.
There is plenty of Planned Parenthood stuff as well, and protect that. And there was a Sharia law that was in this. That was in Iowa. What are you fighting? They set up the straw man and then they fight him.
In some cases, I really do support secession.
I like this one. The individual, forced success secession for somebody else. The individual works hard. This is number nine. The individual works hard for what is his or hers. Therefore, the individual will determine with whom he or she will share it, not the government. So therefore,
well, you have to do that when you have a socialist president that's trying to redistribute wealth.
Yes.
That so you makes pay, sense.
Yeah. You get to not only choose how much taxes you want to pay, but to whom you're going to pay them. I'm going to pay 25% taxes and I'm going to pay it to my wife. That seems fair.
And a good 40% to the KKK.
Number 10, the function of laws to protect the free exercise of a person's God-given rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unless you're gay.
Yeah, because God gave us those things.
Yes.
I don't know if you were there, Gus, but
I was not.
I'm the oldest one in the room, that would be me.
It arrived certified mail.
Drew was there. He told me about it. 1.01, We believe human life should be protected from conception to non-intervened natural death, excluding acts of capital punishment. That's one of my favorite lines. Life must be protected unless we choose to kill you.
Yeah, except in the event that they feel that you should be kept alive by tubes and things.
Well, that comes up next. We oppose infanticide, euthanasia, or assisted suicide. So again, you must protect your own life and all life unless we say it's okay and you need to be killed.
Unless we arbitrarily decide, have set aside quantifiers for these particular situations.
Yes.
Or if you support pro-choice. In which case, like if you happen to get bombed, we might say, we feel a little bad. But
well, speaking of which, we...
Collateral damage.
1.06, we disagree with Roe versus Wade and Doe versus Bolton. I didn't know Michael Bolton was being sued by anybody, but Roe versus Wade as settled law. Therefore, we call for the return of the rights to the states to determine their abortions. So rule number 7, which is the U.S. And we should abide by the rule of law of this nation only, apparently doesn't actually apply to them.
Unless you disagree with the law.
If you disagree or if your parents disagree. That's brilliant.
I stand behind limited government, Gus. And a perfect example of limited government is when Terry Schiavo was on life support and President George Bush made a special trip to Florida and they signed special documents to keep her alive against her husband's wishes.
Yes.
That's an example of freedom from big government.
Well, we want small government when it's what we want. We support the 4.16. We support the elimination of the Iowa Department of Education and U.S. Department of Education. We ain't for your fancy book learning.
I can't believe what you're telling me.
I like this one. We oppose teaching multicultural-based curriculums. The Protestant, everyone else sucks but us law. I like
the
that
white
one.
Way is the right way.
guys, what did you say? Did you say multicultural? What did you say?
No. They said we oppose teaching multicultural-based curriculum.
What is that? Dutch history, German history, English history?
Nobody exists but us. One of my favorites, by the way, we believe the use of the Bible as a textbook should be allowed.
Sure.
Sure.
Yeah, so should Mother Goose.
Yeah, well.
You know, it's like, how do you pick a book that is not?
A book that claims that the world is less old than years ago the dog was domesticated.
Yeah.
That should be your textbook.
And we wrap up the last two with these because these are fantastic. This ties in with your small government. We support the establishment of a no activities night on Wednesdays. So they want the government.
What?
Yeah, no, you all strap in for
what
this
kind
one.
Of
they want the government to limit your activities on Wednesdays because the Baptist Church basically has a lot of their choir and all that other stuff on Wednesdays. And so they would rather those be open. That's nice. And one of my favorites, we support the right of parents and or guardians to teach driver's education to their kids. Because all parents, once you become a parent, obviously know all the rules of the road.
Holy cow.
Drive in California for 10 minutes.
Well, now I understand why they don't want multiculturalism. Gus, I can't have those Asian parents teaching their kids to drive.
By the way, I apologize, Gus. I think I misunderstood when you said that we oppose multicultural. I missed the oppose. So that was the joke I was trying to make. But I get it now. Yeah. So it's like I've always said, people like that, their idea of freedom of religion is you're free to be Protestant, Lutheran, Methodist.
You're free to pray for Jesus some way.
When you did your homework for that show, which version of the Bible do they want to use as a text? Because there's 50 different versions of the Bible just in English alone. So I'd love to know.
That's a very good question. I'm sure they would have an answer, but I'm sure it would not be one consistent answer depending on who I asked. Overseas, while we're overseas, we might as well go to our hooker issue overseas. The director of the Secret Service.
Finally, a story I can relate to.
Director of the Secret Service finally apologized to Congress. Listen to this.
Today, the head of the Secret Service testified before Congress, and for the first time, he offered an apology. But ABC's Pierre Thomas tells us that apology may not have been enough.
It was something rare in Washington these days, someone saying sorry.
I am deeply disappointed, and I apologize for the misconduct of these employees.
But Director Mark Sullivan defended his agency, maintaining that the most embarrassing scandal in the service's history was an aberration.
I was dumbfounded.
Members of Congress were not buying it.
I continue to believe that the problem is broader than you believe it to be.
It's hard to believe that this was the only case.
Sullivan was at a loss as to why 12 Secret Service personnel, including two supervisors, acted so recklessly. Of the 12 Secret Service personnel accused, 3 were cleared, and 9 are being removed. At least two are challenging the disciplinary action.
Some of the agents have said they did not pay for sex and did not know the women were prostitutes. And some have suggested that the agency rules on off-duty behavior were vague.
The thought or the notion that this type of behavior is condoned or authorized is just absurd.
Yes or no? Did they say in the work description that having sex with prostitutes is not part of the job? Yes or no?
It was not clear. It was not clear. They did not specify that I could not have sex with Juanita.
I can't tell you how many times that's tripped me up, Gus.
I mean, that first of all, and the previous excuse of, well, we didn't pay for it and we didn't know they were a hooker. You are a horrible Secret Service agent. Horrible if that's the case. I had no idea this chick was a hooker.
Most girls I date don't have PayPal.
Yeah. I picked up a woman who had a change belt, and yet I had no idea she was a hooker.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but a Secret Service agent's job is to read people's intention. Is it not?
Yeah.
I mean, how are you going to know who's planning on pulling a gun out of some secret pocket when you can't even look at a woman and deduce that she's a hooker? It's 33 degrees outside. She's in a bikini and...
Now they're making a bigger. I mean, they're making a bigger deal of it. I think than. I mean, at this point in time, I'm sure they're looking to go through and get anybody who has any sort of trace to any of this, either out of the agency or clear up as much of this crap as they can. So a lot of this is going to end up being political because they're just going to keep making as much of a big. I mean, hell, Roger Clemens is on trial for the love of God. Like they're grandstanding on certain things. Where you're like, all right, it's been done. They've been caught. Let the investigation happen and move on. That being said, you know, the Congress is basically saying, if you're telling us that this is an isolated incident, we find it hard to believe that 12 different people can go out in separate groups while in Colombia and all hook up with women and sign in at the front desk right next to their real names with the hookers.
You turn to your left.
See, like, I really want to see the Secret Service, like the recruitment, you know, a little packet, or like, is it a Craigslist ad? Like, travel the world, protect the president, sleep with hookers, you know?
They're coming back to the States going, man, I don't know what's going on in Colombia, man, but I mean, every time I'm there, I just hook up.
Chicks dig me there.
That's my favorite place to go, man. It's magic down there.
They had no idea. I mean, could that be a worse lie?
It's like, Chuck, you and I are so good looking. I mean, check it out.
I cannot not hook up.
You mean your date needed money for cab fare home too? Wow.
You talked her down to $800 cab fare? Yeah. Nice.
I will say that's my one critique of Colombia. The cabs are outrageously expensive. Outrageously.
That's your critique of Colombia?
Yeah. The every time I have sex with one of these beautiful women.
They have fantastic breasts.
Nice. Well, sadly, we're going to move to a slightly more dour topic. An old case, one of the first hugely publicized 33-year-old cases of a child going missing and started the whole milk carton, children on the milk carton. Eitan Pates, 33 years ago, was missing. Let's listen to this.
It was 33 years ago this morning that mother left her boy off to the stop. She watched her six-year-old boy leave their front door. It was the first time she'd let him walk alone to the school bus, a block and a half. She could actually see the other children lining up down the street. She went inside, never saw Eitan again. Today, a suspect will be charged with his murder.
This morning, 51-year-old Pedro Hernandez is in a jail cell under arrest for Eitan Pates' murder after police say he gave a 3.5-hour tearful confession, allegedly telling police he choked the boy to death. The suspect was 19 at the time, allegedly telling police he lured little Eitan away, just steps away from that bus stop, promising him a soda at the small corner store where Hernandez worked, now a high-end shop on that same corner.
He then led him into the basement of the bodega, choked him there, and disposed of the body by putting it into a plastic bag and placing it into the trash.
ABC News has learned police were led to Hernandez, who lived in New Jersey with his wife and daughter, after a tip from a family member or friend who told authorities they should look at Hernandez. New York's police commissioner says Hernandez allegedly told family members over the years that he had, quote, done a bad thing, had killed a child in New York. And overnight, the suspect's brother-in-law acknowledged stories had been shared within the family. New York's police commissioner now believes they have their man.
Detectives thought that it was a feeling of relief on his part.
Eitan Pates' parents were told of the break in the case before the arrest. All these years, they never changed their phone number, never moved.
That last part breaks my heart. All these 33 years, never moved, never changed their phone number just in case.
Hey, guys, I don't want to take us off subject, but a couple of years ago, I killed a kid, and I'm kind of on the fence about reporting it.
I would wait up to 30-something years. Tell your family, I quote, I did something bad.
Well, I did. I told my dad, he told me to weigh my options. You know, he said, sit on it for a while.
Sit on it for a while.
A couple decades, at least.
I mean, you guys are missing the big point here. Soda's bad for you.
Soda is bad for you. And Drew just went up another notch in our joke of death pool. Drew is running away with it. 1 week is... You were running away with it.
Like the apple of jokes.
I mean, you know this is going to bring me to the death penalty. This is... First of all, 19 years old. They're checking this guy for mental stability. Obviously, he went to Bellevue. And, I mean, here's the thing is, I don't really know what mental stability means when... Let's just say, like, he's either crazy and he can't stand trial, or you're saying he's sane and he decided he was going to ask a 6-year-old kid into his place and choke him and then throw him out with the garbage. How can you do that and be sane?
Right.
My question is this the only, how do you do that? And has he not gotten in any trouble or done anything wrong?
He's married and has a daughter.
But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, how do you move on
Yeah, I screwed up.
You scared straight? You went, whoa, I was 19, I'm on the fence? Like, here's the thing. I was trying to figure out how somebody, I can't. This is not something most people, I think, can comprehend. How somebody can come to the, oh, maybe I'll see how bad I can be. But as a kid, you do certain things. You do, don't get me wrong, I'm not equating it with him, but I'm saying, I'm trying to figure out where the crazy comes in. You go, as a kid, you go, oh, I shouldn't grab this broken bottle. I shouldn't grab this bottle and go throw it against that wall and break it. You know, something that's bad that you shouldn't do, that's not horrible. And you go, fuck it. I'm going to do it. I'm a kid. I'm going to do it. I'm going to see what happens. Yeah. But if you're so off base that your level of going to do something bad. No. But the mental, I'm saying mentally, yeah. And you're so off base that you're thinking I'm going to do something bad, but your bad isn't I'm going to do this bad thing. I'm going to kill a kid.
Right.
You're not stable. I don't care what Bellevue tells you.
Your thing would make Hitler gasp.
Yeah. That I don't know, because if you can live with that mustache, you can do anything. But that is, I don't understand, like, how this guy can't be put to death. Well, first of all, as far as put to death, I think they should get more use out of him. I think you do testing. I think you do human testing with people like this.
Yeah, get in there, snoop around that brain. Yeah. Pull it open, find out what's wrong. Is it, something genetic?
Now, when you say snoop around, you kind of make it seem a little Scooby-Doo-ish, but I like it. I like it.
I'm talking. Yeah, I didn't mean to make it sound so lighthearted. I meant some full-on Dexter stuff there, you know.
Well, nice. Well, keep him alive while you do it.
When it comes to the death penalty argument, the argument that the death penalty could or should ever be used as a deterrent is absurd. It was never meant as a deterrent. It would never serve as a deterrent. And I'm pro-death penalty. But I'm saying the argument, like, of course, someone who is going to kill is never going to reconsider because the repercussions might be the death penalty. That is never going to factor into it. It's lunacy.
Yeah, certainly not enough to make a difference.
No. If you're about to kill someone, you are not weighing your options. You are doing it or you are not doing it.
Dude, I tell you, you and I hang out a good amount, and I'm constantly on the fence.
Every time we play Madden, your life is in jeopardy. But... Again, death penalty, not my consideration.
No.
I'm a clean freak. It's the mess. That's the only thing that keeps you alive.
Don't look in your closet, by the way. I did some things in there. I think we're all mostly on the same page with the death penalty, which is we're less against that and more against the people that would carry that out. I mean, now that DNA evidence is coming and you see how many people are actually... aren't as guilty as everyone originally said they were.
Yes, but then there's cases. Like if there's a case where the guilt or innocence is in question, that's one thing. But if you have a guy that is then they're going, oh man, I did this. You know, or you've got body parts in the refrigerator. These are not questions.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I mean, that guy. I think at the very least, if they're not going to do medical testing on him, he should be tied up, and that kid's parents should be allowed to do whatever the hell they want to them. But let's go from a case that is going to happen to a case that just happened. We talked about this a little while back. The Rutgers spying case. The sentence came down. Let's listen to this.
Darun Ravi did not show any emotion as the judge sentenced him to a 30-day jail term.
Down the road, you can expunge this judgment. but you cannot expunge the conduct or the pain you caused.
Tyler Clementi's father asked for justice as he explained how the former Rutgers student hurt his son and family.
The most aching pain to me is to know the pain suffered by my son as a result of Mr. Robbie's cold-hearted violations of him.
2 months ago, a jury convicted Robbie of 15 criminal counts, including invasion of privacy and bias intimidation, considered a hate crime. The 20-year-old used a webcam to spy on his roommate, Tyler Clementi, having a sexual encounter with another man. Robbie tweeted about what he saw back in September 2010. Days later, Clementi jumped off the George Washington Bridge, committing suicide.
Now, just to make it clear, Darun Ravi was not actually on trial for Tyler Clementi's death. It was 15 other charges.
He can't be.
No. And I'm not saying he should be. I'm saying, though, but that was not. So he was not on trial for that. However, he faced up to 10 years in prison. He was convicted of all 15 counts against him. And the judge sentenced him to 30 days in jail. Any problem with that?
I hate to say it, but I actually kind of don't. And the reason is, first of all, I have a huge problem with the hate crime element to this.
I agree with that.
If what he did, the invasion of privacy, absolutely. But I see no difference between that than if he had taped a guy, you know, having sex with a girl or a girl having sex with a guy, you know, putting the webcam in and showing that.
Well, there's some difference in that. With the stress certain kids are under, especially if you're coming out of the closet, if you're out of the closet, you're not out of the closet, whatever the case, there's no doubt that kids dealing with homosexuality or coming to grips with their homosexuality will have certain other issues that other people will not have to deal with. And I'm not a big fan of saying a crime is horrible, but let's try to figure out what was in his heart and if it was more horrible. So I agree with you in that account. However, you're going to face less backlash more than likely as a kid, as a 19-year-old or an 18-year-old, if someone tapes you having sex with your girlfriend as opposed to someone tapes you having sex with your boyfriend. I don't even think that's close. Mm. I think there's a better chance you're going to be ridiculed, and I think that ties into why gay kids struggle with that. However, there were a lot of gay rights activists who didn't want them to go over the top with the sentence. They said... Don't make an example of him. The fact is, if you give this kid the maximum, you're then saying, well, it's not all these other factors where people are biased. It's just this one guy did this one prank, and they're saying it's not that. This kid probably dealt with this crap all his life, and then this was the last straw.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, 30 days, they said, is nowhere. You know, people get more for shoplifting.
Yeah. Minor drug possession offenses, yeah.
Yeah, so this kid technically is a felon. He is still can be sent out of the country, but he can be deported. But the judge said he's going to recommend
probably
that
be
that
sued
happen.
Civilly, right?
Yeah, I would assume he would be as well. Yeah,
and it's likely that civilly. His parents have some money if he's going to Rutgers, right?
You know, I'm sorry. I just still believe. I understand what you're saying, that it's difficult for a teenager or someone coming out of the closet, and you're dealing with all that. But
more
making
than 30
that
days.
Leap to take your own life is something that's still that individual's choice.
No, and he wasn't on trial for that, but he was on trial for 15 other counts. They found him guilty on all 15 counts. You gave him 2 days per count.
Drew, are you maybe overlooking the fact that, this guy is now, correct me if I'm wrong here, but he's been broadcast, this footage has been broadcast. This could conceivably haunt him for the rest of his life. Completely outside of his power. I'm talking about Tyler Clementi. I mean, this footage has been out there. Imagine if somebody basically turned you into a porn star without your knowledge or consent.
You are barking up the wrong tree.
Yeah,
Chris.
Yeah. That's a completely different show. We're going to move on. We're going to move
business.
On to that.
Seriously, there's more on me than Tyler Clementi.
I do want to agree with Gus, though, because it seems like in this day and age, too many people are just making it sound like homosexuality is, we're okay with it now, society as a whole. I can't tell you how many black comics I've heard say, you know, I don't like it when homosexuals compare their struggle to our struggle. Have you never heard of Matthew Shepard? Yeah. That was what, a decade ago?
Yeah.
Where a kid was strung to a fence? How is that any different from a lynching?
It's not, and it's horrible, and you don't really want to compare horrible to other horrible, but I agree with you, and that's why it always shocks me when you find anybody. We were talking last week about, you know, whether it's African Americans, whether it's old Jews who are racist, or, you know, and you're like, what the hell is the matter with you people? How can you, but, you know,
yeah, hopefully your own struggle while
hopefully some of those people will die out. All right, let's get to sports real quick for about 3-4 minutes. I want to talk about sports. We have the hockey finals. The 8th-seeded LA Kings, local LA Kings, are going to be starting up.
Good for them.
Against the New Jersey Devils.
My home state.
Yes. I can tell by the smell.
I have been to Devils games.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Holy crap. So you would recognize a hockey game if you saw it.
I enjoy going to live hockey games.
Hockey to me, by the way, and not many people know this based on the television contract that the NHL has, but hockey to me is far and away the best playoff sport to watch. It is fast-paced. There can be goal scoring. There's hard hits. There's a lot of great moves. You know, I mean, there's a lot of fantastic offensive moves.
I'm sure this has nothing to do with the fact that you played in college.
No, I did. But I mean, out here, nobody gives a shit and nobody watches it. And to me, I can understand if you don't understand the rules, you don't know what you're watching. But I blame the NHL for that. I mean, I can't even watch a game 7 on my local team for my local team. For the LA Kings, I have to go somewhere specific to watch it. I can't even pick up a game 7, even though they weren't in a game 7. But I can't pick up any of their playoff games. And then we have LeBron James. LeBron James and the Heat are in the Eastern Conference Finals against Boston. And the question is, he just basically won his third MVP in the last 4 years. But without him getting a championship, it's going to be a problem. And he kind of set the standard high after this crap.
Championships.
Not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, not seven. Hey.
2 million, y'all.
When I say that. And when I say that, I really believe it.
He believes. Not 7, maybe 8 quick championships.
8 championships. That's what he's coming with?
Well, that's what he came with.
Most teams don't get that in 50 years.
Yeah, yeah. Except the Lakers and the Celtics. Yeah, nobody does. Yeah,
he wants more championships than the average athlete's career lasts.
But to his defense, he didn't go to college, so maybe he's not good with counting. But... yeah, that was...
Though he looks old enough to be a professor, doesn't
he? Yeah, that is true. So, I mean, he's... My question to you is this. I mean, he's basically... one of their big three, Chris Bosch, got hurt. They're out. And to me, the two best teams are playing in the Western Conference Finals, the Thunder versus Spurs. But if LeBron doesn't win a championship, he is now the 8th player in the NBA history to win at least 3 championships. I apologize, to win at least 3 MVP awards. Every other one has won championships. If he doesn't win a championship and he wins 6 MVPs, can you still be considered one of the best of all time?
I say yes. I think being voted the best is not, you're not talking about the team at that point. You're talking about individual accomplishment.
No, that is true. But as in some sports, you can be a great running back. You can be Barry Sanders, but you don't get the ball every time. Basketball,
no, but they're still gonna rate you as a running back.
That is true. So, but I mean, different in a basketball game. Basketball, you can dominate. You're there. You're on the court. You're playing offense. You're playing defense. You can touch the ball every single time. You can take over a game and be more dominant. A quarterback, yeah, I would relate a basketball player more with a quarterback. You have more of a hands-on in that scenario. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar won the most 6 MVPs. Also won championships. Michael Jordan was in 2nd with 5 MVPs, and obviously everybody, you know, knows his success. But to me, I mean, it's hard. I mean, Dan Marino is the name that always comes up. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the best, all his numbers were great. Can you blame him? No. But because of that, was he ever going to be placed over Joe Montana?
He may not be placed. Here's the thing. What I think is it's like playing poker, where you have... you know, your extra, you know, the kicker, say. So if you have two athletes who have identical accomplishments, but one has championships, the one with the championships will rise higher on the list if the accomplishments are identical.
Or equivalent, yes.
Or the equivalent, yes. Yes. So, but if not, you know, the guy who has the championships, if the other guy has greater personal accomplishments, I think he's a better player.
So what you're saying is LeBron can win 6 MVPs. If he doesn't win a championship, he can be among the best. He's not going to be the best. Can he be better than Jordan if he wins 10 MVPs and doesn't win any championships?
Since I don't follow basketball closely, I don't know what the numbers would be, but I would say if he had more rebounds and he had more points scored, then yes, he could be considered better.
I don't think so. I don't think so. But
you don't know nothing.
That is also a valid point. Let's get the headlines. Let's get the headlines real quick. We lost another Gibb, and don't look for him. Robin Gibb passed away.
Two in one day.
That is true. You're skyrocketing right now. Robin Gibb passed away at the age of 62 after losing his battle with cancer. He is one of the three brothers from the Bee Gees. His brother Maurice died at 53 in 2003. Yeah, so there's one left.
They all have like really messed up ailments.
Intestinal. His brother died of a heart attack while waiting surgery for a blocked intestine. Robin was unconscious and actually weeks before he died, slipped into a coma, and his family sang for him around the bed, and he came out of the coma. I believe they charged everyone else on the floor for a free concert by the way, but. And then he passed, but Bee Gees, you know, obviously huge. Nine number one U.S. singles in the 70s, six Grammy Awards, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He will be missed. Rest in peace, Mr. Gibb. Lawrence Taylor, the rumor that his ring, which he gave to his son and then his son auctioned off, was bought for over $230,000. People thought that Charlie Sheen bought it. Charlie Sheen said he did not buy it. He already owns Babe Ruth's 1927 World Series ring, but... he said that was not him. So somebody else.
You told me Charlie Sheen bought it.
What's that?
You told me Charlie
Sheen. That was the report. Charlie Sheen, the report was Charlie Sheen bought it. And then the next day, Charlie Sheen said no.
Do we know who did it?
No, the person is anonymous.
Even me?
Probably not due to the price. Big Bang Theory, Jim Parsons. Sheldon Cooper from the Big Bang Theory came out and it was revealed revealed he was gay and a New York Times columnist. Apparently, he's been in a 10-year relationship with a guy who that's where he gets his Big Bang from. Is that a shock? I mean, does anyone care?
The most shocking outing since Lance Bass.
I thought you were going to go George Takei, but yes.
John.
Sharon Stone was sued. Apparently, somebody finally saw Basic Instinct 2. Thank you. She's being sued by her former nanny, who alleges that she was fired for no reason and had to endure disparaging comments about her religion and ethnicity. She claims she wasn't allowed to read the Bible in her room, and that, this is one of my favorites, that she was told to not talk in front of the children so they, quote, would not talk like you.
Yeah.
Nice. What is that thing you do with your mouth? It's called my native tongue.
I don't know what that moon language is, but keep it to yourself.
That is,
you know that this story is going to become kind of a rallying cry for conservatives. You know, the Hollywood elite was demeaning her faith.
I think that the housekeeper should have said, like, yeah, I don't want my kid watching Sliver.
Yeah. Well, she says she was fired because Sharon Stone found out she was getting overtime, and Sharon Stone was furious that she was getting overtime. So I'm assuming eventually she's going to move to Iowa, where they're trying to get rid of the minimum wage, and then that won't be a problem. They killed a mountain lion in Santa Monica.
That's a crazy story.
Yeah, Santa Monica lion was somehow walking around Arizona near the Third Street Promenade, walked into a courtyard at a building. They tried to tranquilize it. You used a pepper ball. Sounds delicious.
It walked off after they shot it with a dart. Like, seriously? Yeah. How can you be mad at the thing for that?
I'm mad, but they didn't want it to kill anyone. I mean, you would think at some point you just leave. If they've never seen a cartoon, leave a trail of stakes to
box. Where it wound up?
Like a cardboard box under a stick. Does that not work?
It's hilarious, dude. He actually...
you got to wrap it up.
He was at some... Oh, my God. He's got a complex, like a business complex, like right in the middle of the garden. People just walk by going...